All right, well, it's so good to be with you guys today. Thursday for me is always a highlight, not always that I get to be in this room, but boy, when I do, just hearing God's word and just spending time around the tables is so important. So glad for you to be here, and I'm glad to be here myself as well. So probably you've already thought this, but Jeff kind of introduced the topic of passion, and so I want for you to think about what you're passionate about or what you're most passionate about. I already talked to Gary Treadway here, so I got my Razorback shirt on for a reason. So what are you passionate about? For us in student ministry, I heard some groans there. That's okay. In student ministry, it's camp season, right? So we just got back from middle school camp. If you guys would be praying, Steph is taking the children tomorrow to Lakeview, and then we've got high school coming up as well. But specifically at FBC, one of the things that's a tradition, one of the things that's a big deal for us at camp, part of our camp culture is rec. And in recreation, there's camaraderie. You get to know your team, but it's not just getting to know your team. It's actually pushing yourself and breaking down barriers. And so a couple weeks ago, when I was leading the cheetahs for the middle school, at first, when we were kind of going over our cheer, there's a couple guys on the side and like, I don't know about cheering, you know. And by the end of the week, boy, they were just alive. And so just to kind of see in a way that as you are on the athletic field, you can push one another. And of course, the goal is not just an athletic conquest. The goal is that as they relate with one another, then when we enter into a time of worship, and not just in a building where that's contained, but when we live a life of worship, that we have those connections that continue as well. One of the things that really makes that happen, though, is vulnerability. So again, if it be something as silly as a cheer, just being vulnerable and saying, you know what, I got your back, we're together going to do this. And so as you do that with something simple like a cheer, then that allows for them, as they break out into their other groups, to be vulnerable about their testimony. And in some cases, maybe that they don't have a testimony, that they don't know the Lord. And so these are kind of where we've been working. And so I'm very passionate about that for student ministry. Again, I would ask for you to pray for our children and for high school as we round up those. But as we think about passion for you, not just for students, I want for you to think about things that maybe you are passionate about. So oftentimes we would think athletics. You might have a team in mind. Maybe you think about your profession. So you're building your craft and working wherever you are, or even about your family. Those are all good things, but remember, the first of the Ten Commandments tells us that we're to have no other gods before Him. And so if we place anything, even if it be good, our family, even if it be good, providing for our family, even if it be something that's fun like athletics, then it has become an idol. And so I look around and I think to myself, as people follow whatever team that they follow, how devoted they can be. So how much even just a polo with a Razorback on it can cost, or how much it costs to go all the way to Omaha, or how much it costs to have your kid and whatever. And I've got three, and we do soccer and we do dance. So I'm talking to myself here, but there's times when maybe that can get out of hand, that can get out of line. You know, even thinking back to camp, what I really challenged our students is that we can get all excited about athletics, we can get all excited about being the first in the relay or whatever the case. But then whenever it comes time to someone really making a decision, sometimes it's like a golf clap. And for those of you golfers, I'm not trying to be offensive here. But can, you know, I mean, if someone gets saved, so we came back from camp, I said, hey, we got someone to baptize today. We need to erupt. We need to be just as loud about someone becoming to know the Lord, or someone growing in the Lord, as we are about any and everything. I texted a friend of mine this morning who I need to get with. So I went to Arkansas. My wife went to LSU. And so is Quinn here today? Is he back there somewhere? I don't know where he is. But at LSU, if you happen to know LSU, the way that they do their fourth down is if the defense holds, then they play kind of like this Aladdin royalty music, and all the students do this, and they're like bowing down to the defense. And I had a friend of mine, so even though I was an Arkansas fan going to LSU games with my wife, said, well, you know what? You don't have any problem bowing down for that defense, but I don't see your hands raised on Sunday morning to the Lord. And that's been 15 years ago, and it still just kind of cuts me to the heart that, again, we can get with 100,000 other people, or we can get in front of the TV, we can get passionate about all kinds of things, but sometimes the things we need to be the most passionate about, we just a little bit more on the sidelines. So the title of the message today is, Does Your Passion Equal His Passion? Of course, the answer is no, it doesn't, nor ever will it. But can we be more like Him? can we grow to have that passion that he shows us? And so the answer to that question, I want to give in a couple other questions. The first is your passion going in the right direction? To really think about if you're as passionate as Jesus Christ is, you want to make sure that you're passionate about what he's passionate about. Got a couple of my staff guys here, so Cross and Tyler, as a student staff, we're reading this summer a classic by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And one of the things that we talked about even this week is that if you're going in the wrong direction, it doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how much you want it. If you're going in the wrong direction, all that effort is taking you the wrong way. And so the first thing we really need to think about is, are we going in his direction? Are we doing things his way? The second question is, once you know that you're going in his direction, then are you doing so with the right intensity? Are you doing so with the right effort? So Jesus' life obviously was always in the right direction, and Jesus' life also was at an extremely high intensity. This book right here, Play the Man by Mark Batterson, is kind of as a staff what we're doing to kind of lead us through this series. And there's a great quote in here I wanted to read to you because he writes much better than me. But he says, Jesus may have been meek and mild, but he also had a wild side. He touched lepers. He celebrated Samaritans, stopped storms, exorcised demons, ate with sinners, healed on the Sabbath, turned funeral processions into parades. Then he died the way he lived, with pure passion. It's no coincidence that the final week of his life is synonymous with the passion. That is, that it's called the Passion Week. So thinking again about Jesus' passion and the Passion Week and the Holy Week, the way he lived, especially that last week, but really all 33 years, all of his life, is such that he showed that we were important. He showed that the Father's will was important. So today, I hope you already know Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. So as we talk about living a passionate life, it's kind of presuming that you're already going in the right direction. It's kind of presuming that you already got Ephesians 2:8-9 down, that you've accepted the grace of Jesus Christ, and it's not your own works, it's not your goodness, but it's acknowledging our need for him. And once we acknowledge that need for him and accept that gift, then the rest of life is about discipleship, it's about sanctification, it's about becoming more and more like him. And so if you know Ephesians 2:8-9, then hopefully you also know verse 10 as well. It says, for we are God's workmanship, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, works that he prepared in advance for us to do. So we're saved by grace, but then once we've been saved by grace, then really we're saved for works that he wants for us to live for him. He wants for us to work for him. He wants for us to be passionate about him. He's got assignments. He's got tasks. He's got things that he wants for us to do. So today what I want to do is I want to give you a verse that I hope that you already know, but if you don't, then you're going to know. And I would really challenge you to memorize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And that verse really, I think, shows like the direction and the intensity that we ought to go about life. It says, therefore, which by the way, if you've wondered, for our middle school ministry is named T4. T4 stands for therefore. And what we tell our students week in and week out is that anytime you see a therefore in the passage, you got to ask, well, why it's there. Look back for context. And so as we come to God's word, as we come to God's house, as we come into his presence, we can't leave the same. We can't just say, oh, that was a good time with the Lord, I'm going to go on back to work. You know, that when we come into contact with him, that it ought to rock us. It ought to change us. There ought to be a therefore. This is what he says. This is what he wants. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to respond. And so right here in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, therefore, well, the whole 15th chapter is about the gospel. Is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is about his overcoming the grave. And so because of this great thing that he's done, then Paul ends the passage and he says, well, therefore, Jesus has done all of this. And so as you live out life, as things happen, as things are difficult for you, then you can face anything. You can be who he wants for you to be. So there, 1558, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, that you can stand for something, we can be who he wants for us to be. Let nothing move you, so be steadfast, always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is what he wants for us. The direction and the work of our Lord is that he wants for us to be passionate. He wants for us to be fully giving ourselves to him. Again, I would challenge you to memorize this verse because it's something that God can use in your life as maybe you question. Just talking to Ryan back here about Bobby Greenwood, who was here 10, 15 years ago, and here we hear a young man that's grown up and says, man, he doesn't even probably know my name, but he impacted me. Well, that's things that we can share with people. That's the things that can keep us going. Maybe it's not just for you. Maybe it's for someone else. Someone's having a difficult week. Someone's struggling. Someone maybe is having a lack of passion. You can share this verse with them and help them to know what God wants for them. So as men today, there's at least three roles that I think in which we can live this verse. We can consider our passionate pursuit of Christ out in. The first one is as a child of God. As a child of God, and again, I'm assuming that doesn't happen because you're an American. It doesn't happen because you're sitting in a church. It happens because we've understood, again, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, our need for salvation, that he graciously has given us that gift, and we have to confess him as sinners and say, will you save me from my sins? But as a child of God, God deserves our devotion. On Sunday, we had a Sunday school leaders meeting in here, and Marcus did a great job. And as he was encouraging people from this very stage, I was thinking to myself, I'm getting ready to share Acts 2 with my Sunday school leaders and student ministry. He's about to share the verse I want to share, and he went a different direction. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that they devoted themselves to doctrine, to fellowship, and to prayer. And so if we say that we're passionately pursuing Christ, then we need to be serious about what he's taught. We need to be serious about fellowship with other believers as iron sharpens iron, and we need to be serious to prayer. If you don't know, we've got a prayer room here in the church, my favorite room in the church, and Pastor Jeff challenges us and pushes us as a staff to say that's something that we need to do weekly. It doesn't mean we only pray weekly. It just means that in addition to all the praying that we do on our own, there's a specific time that we go and we pray for the ministries of the church, and we set everything else aside. And so again, as a child of God, God deserves our devotion. So kind of rhetorical question here for you. Are you devoted to God? If a reporter or if a student were to come behind you and to watch 24 hours of your life, to watch a whole week of your life, is the way that we spend our money, is the way that we spend our time, is the attitude that we have, not just when we're standing on stage, but everywhere, in everything, showing a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. So as we get that right, as we rightly relate with him, then the second role in which that we need to make sure that we're getting right is our relationships. For men today, especially as a husband and father, but our closest relationships warrant our priority. And honestly, I would love for you to pray for me about this. I love my family, and I tell them I love my family, and I know that they know that I love them. But man, it's just so easy to get busy. It's so easy. I mean, last week we were talking and about this thing, right? That there can be hurting people and there can be situations. And so for me, just trying and doing everything I can to prioritize them and say, after I give the Lord my best, after he equips me to be the man and husband that I need to be, that they need to know without a shadow of doubt that they're my priority, that they're important. Because I can say whatever I want to say from this stage. I can go on however many trips with students, but if I'm not winning my family, if I'm not leading my family, if I'm not loving them, and if they aren't feeling that, and if they don't know that, then I've failed. And so again, I would ask for you to pray for me about that, and I would ask you to consider what your priority is and what you show as well. So devotion and priority to the Lord. So it's not going to be easy. And I think I may have missed a blank there, so I'll get it to you later. Let me just skip on though to there's three tendencies that come to us as men. That is, we need to expect opposition. I had a pastor once that said, if you're not having a head-on collision with the enemy every single day, you might need to check where you're going because you might be going in the same direction. And so we need to expect opposition. We need to expect for things to not always go well. And so as men today, there's three tendencies that I would like to put before you. You could even call it kind of like a three-headed dragon. But they're all three illustrated in Adam's life. The first one is doubt. Doubt. And so in Adam's life, if you remember, as Adam and Eve were there and as the serpent comes up, then the serpent says, did God actually say, do not eat of this fruit? And so there's this voice in his ear and his head, and it's from the serpent, but we don't have to have a serpent coming up to us. We too can have doubt. We too can question things that we ought not question. Our author here says that doubt is buying into the enemy's lies and believing them to be truth. He's spitting out lies all the time. He's asserting things all the time. And unfortunately, sometimes we're buying into them hook, line, and sinker. Has there been a lie that you've bought into? You know, we live in a world of marketing all the time where the TV and the radio and billboards and everything's just saying, you're only going to be happy if you buy this product. You're only going to be happy if you have this or that or whatever it may be. Your life is not complete without it. And so we're being barraged all day long by things that tell us that. And we have to put those voices, put those messages, put those agendas aside and again, seek him and seek him wholeheartedly. And when doubt comes up, to recognize it for what it is and to again, turn back to that passion for Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, the thing that he was able to counteract the enemy with, right? That he quoted scripture. You know, so Satan would tempt him and he quoted him back with scripture. So we need to be memorizing scripture. We need to be walking with the Lord such that whenever that temptation, or whenever that doubt does come, then we can keep it at bay. Number two this afternoon of tendencies that we as men have is we have a tendency toward apathy. Going back to Adam, when Eve ate the fruit, where was Adam? You know, he was right there with her, right? And so last week, our speaker said that we need to reject passivity. Well, in that moment, Adam had the chance to step up. Adam had the chance to say, hey, babe, we don't need to do that. But he was just sitting back and let her do it. And then he didn't just watch her do it. Then he even partook of it as well. And in fact, a chapter or so later, when God came into the garden and he said, where are you? What have you been doing? Then he said, well, the woman that you gave me did this. So he's even not going to take responsibility for his own actions. He's going to put that off on someone else. I think at this point it would be appropriate to tell Adam, and again, in times of apathy, to tell ourselves what we're called on Thursday afternoons, right? It's time to man up. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to grow and to overcome just kind of cowering down and to really, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, to stand, to rise up, to be passionately pursuing him. Edmund Burke famously said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to stand by and do nothing. And how many times in our life has that been true? When we just kind of sense that you know, this isn't really my show, or I'm not really leading right now, but you just have this sense that something's getting ready to go wrong, or that a group of people are getting ready, you know, someone just needs to stand up and lead this group. And too often we just kind of sit and we say, well, that's not my job, or that's not my role, or that's not what I came here to do. The opposite of apathy is sweat equity, and Cody is with us from Mission Texarkana, and so my time at Mission Texarkana, my time even with my students, really try to push them and say that you need to be involved, you need to be engaged, you need to not just sit back. So whether it be someone that's homeless trying to get their life back in order, well then you need to have some skin in the game, you need to begin to work. For our students this afternoon, we're going to, for the sake of one, next week we're going to be picking corn with Harvest Texarkana, and so there's ways that we're trying to say, you can't just expect someone else to set these chairs up. You can't just expect someone else to do the work for you. You've got to get in there and you've got to step and say, I might not have money, but I got labor I can give. I got prayers that I can give. I got a way that I can not just sit on the sideline, but I can be engaged. So as we think about this problem, this tendency, this dragon's head of apathy, think about your faith. Think about your relationships. Think about your position, as we talked about earlier, that God has you where he has you for a reason, and he wants you to not be apathetic about your faith. He wants you to not be just letting your family happen. He wants you to be leading them. He wants you to be guiding them. He wants you to be passionately following the Lord so much that they want to do the same thing. And so as we kind of wind down here, the last of the three tendencies is lust. Going back to Adam as well, I don't know about in the Garden of Eden, but if you look at trees and if you think about how many trees are, there's thousands of trees that bear fruit. There's hundreds of trees, I didn't know this, that will bear the fruit of an apple. And so the question is, did Adam really need that piece of fruit? It's not like he was hungry. It's not like he couldn't have gone right next door, all the way over there. It's not that he needed it. What was it? He wanted it. He desired it. It's like my three girls. If you go to the beach and you draw a line in the sand and say, don't cross that line, well, 2 seconds later, they're going to be over the top of the line, right? And we as human beings, whether we be little girls or whether we be grown men, are continuing to struggle with just this appetite of pleasing ourselves and having what we want now, when really we just need to be satisfied with what we have and what God has given us. Even as Paul said in the book of Philippians, I've learned to be content. Joy isn't determined on what we have or what we don't have. Aren't we the same way? So again, today, one of the things I love about Thursdays, one of the things I really want to challenge you is that you can be vulnerable. And not only can you be vulnerable, but maybe you need to be vulnerable. Maybe there's someone here today at one of these tables that just needs to open up and say, you know what, I've never told anybody this, but this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what's keeping me from passionately pursuing Christ. You know, Paul, as he wrote, there's a lot of different ways he puts it. So in the book of Colossians, he talks about taking off garments and then putting on. So we're taking off the old, we're taking off the flesh, and then we're putting on the garments of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, he talks about the same thing. He kind of got the fruits of the flesh, all kinds of things that we need to get rid of, and then we've got the fruit of the Spirit that we need to be growing in and gaining. So I just want to say to you, as a fellow sojourner, as we conclude and as you guys around tables talk today, that the book of Hebrews is a great place for us just to kind of gain strength and for us to link arms together. It's another therefore. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We have people that have gone before us. We have people right around here that are going with us. And so together, as we open up, as we share, as we hold one another accountable, we can answer that question, are we passionately pursuing him? Maybe not as he is, but we can be more and more like him every day and every Thursday.